clippings of fishing boats she had hung in her office on her last job. Stephanie had refused to allow them on the walls of their apartment. Ellen paused. The silence was almost palpable. There was a discernible whir of vibration under her feet. She supposed from whatever building functions were required to maintain a livable environment on this 16th floor. The filing could wait a little longer. She would use this quiet time to explore her new surroundings. The office of her neighbor, an engineer, she remembered, contained dozens of scale model rooms enclosed in partitioned glass display cases. She crept in like a burglar and succumbed to childish pleasure in the doll's house furnishings. Minuscule sofas and chairs and desks and tables, each room complete with carpeting, light fixtures, exquisitely tiny bookcases and plants. Smiling, she walked on to the next room. Cavernous and silent, it seemed frozen in a pause between frantic bouts of activity. Desk was jammed against desk, all of them strewn and stacked with paper. In and out boxes spilled over their contents. The tops of filing cabinets were piled high with folders and gray metal trays heaped with paper for filing. Computer screens gaped with pale, empty faces. Two microfilm units were hunched together on a drab green table, pushed against a bookcase which was stuffed to untidy capacity with fat catalogs. A tiny philodendron on the perilous edge of a filing cabinet dribbled its sparse leaves not quite to the floor, the only personal touch she could find in this jumbled room with its ungenerous thin gray carpeting. She could imagine Stephanie's opinion. Hear Stephanie's voice, low and contemptuous. A consummate example, Ellen dear, of the business world's spiritual barrenness. She peered across the room at several shadowy cubicles flimsily partitioned off from each other and made out faded stenciled information on a glass door. Credit department. Luther Garrett's office. His was one of the few names she remembered from yesterday. Luther, she had repeated after Gail Freeman. People name their children anything. She had instantly regretted these words to her new boss, whose own feminine name seemed an unfair burden for a black man to carry. But he had acknowledged her remark with a smiling nod. She allowed the door to swing closed and continued down the hallway, high heels sinking soundlessly into thick rust-colored carpeting. Pausing at the next door, which bore the name Fred Grayson on a white-lettered sign hanging from two hooks, she reflected that this was the one corner office she hadn't yet seen. Gail Freeman and Fergus Parker occupied the others, and, of course, Guy Adams, with his spectacular office. She smiled, remembering him. She walked on, past other signs bearing the names Harley Burton and Dwayne Fletcher, and paused before Gretchen Phillips. She had not met these sales managers, and she was curious only about Gretchen Phillips. What had it been like, her ascent to sales manager? More to the point, what kind of woman would work for a man like Fergus Parker? She pushed open the conference room door. An imposing table, heavy, dark, glossy, was surrounded by a dozen armchairs upholstered in rich gold fabric. A painting vaguely suggestive of rolling hills and sunlight took up much of one wall. A locked glass case held an assortment of photographic equipment. She gazed only for a moment, then closed the door softly. She was near Fergus Parker's office, too near. If he by chance were in early... Muzak swelled and waned as she strode along the carpeted hallway under the ceiling speakers, retracing her steps past Fred Grayson's office, past her own and Gail Freeman's offices, and up the hallway to the purely functional areas, supply room, photocopying, the restrooms, the kitchen, and lunchroom. The aroma of coffee reached her as she came to the open doorway of the kitchen. Who else